In this episode, you're going to learn the three things that I do each and every day in order to provide huge upside for my client projects, very tactical, results-driven action. And I'm going to bring you the latest video marketing news from all the movers and shakers in the world of marketing.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
What's happening? You know, I had a client call this morning at 5 a.m. And really, it was the only time when we could all sync up our crazy schedules. The client's on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, and it was the only time we could get in front of each other and talk. So I did a client presentation this morning with one eye still blinking, trying to adjust to the new day. Watched the sun come up, crushed a great run. Now I'm in the studio knocking down the latest news that matters to video marketing masters. Now, before we get into the news, I really like what I do. You know, because of it, I'm a workaholic. And I know a lot of people never feel that way about the work that they do. And I hope that's not the case with you, because that would absolutely really suck, right? It would just suck a little piece of the life out of you. And I really like what I do. I hope it shows. And I feel the same about you. Whatever you're doing, be great at it and be passionate. When you're looking at two different candidates for a job, the one that's got inherent passion for that topic or subject is going to be the one that achieves. Passion beats talent when talent decides it doesn't want to work that hard, right? And passion just pulls right ahead. You see it in sports, you see it in business, and you see it in video marketing. I see it all the time. So you always have to love what you do. Speaking of love, over the weekend, my wife and I watched Billions. Oh, I love my wife. I like Billions, right? It's a Showtime show, but I want to keep my priorities all in place. Love my wife. And all of a sudden, the video quality went from HD awesome to really poor. And my wife said to me, how did we lose all the HGTV? Which I think is awesome, right? Because we forget there's all these acronyms we use in video marketing all the time. HGTV obviously isn't HDTV, but it all just kind of flows when you're living in the world of video marketing. And you know what surprises me? Most people think video marketing is about YouTube, right? Like when I tell people that I'm a video marketer, or a digital marketer, they go, oh, you mean like YouTube? So to them, I'm probably like, you know, some 12-year-old kid or a 21-year-old kid that's crushing YouTube. And I just look at this as a business tool and very little of it. You know, YouTube's just a small piece of the interconnected tools and tactics that video marketers need to understand in order to bring their target customers through a buyer's journey. But when people think about video marketing, it's kind of like when they think about wine, but they aren't a wine snob like I am. They probably think of first, oh, so you like wine coolers, right? Or you like white Zinfandel, because it might be their only introduction to the topic. But as we mature and this industry becomes more viable, YouTube becomes a smaller and smaller piece. And how you use video tactics inside of traditional digital marketing tactics is where the rubber really meets the road. Video marketing is much more than YouTube. And now the news that matters to video marketing masters. Mashable reports YouTube, the Google-owned video platform, announced on Friday it's going to shut down the built-in video editor feature that YouTube has had since 2010. And it's really fallen on hard times. You know, one of Google's community members, one of their managers, wrote in a YouTube help forum that axing of the existing online video editor inside of YouTube comes as a result of limited usage of these features. Now, we've got huge campaigns, right? Like one of our campaigns has over 1,400 videos that are live and maybe 1,800 videos total inside of the YouTube channel. And I'm talking about our Breast Cancer Answers campaign that we started 6 years ago when my stepmom was diagnosed with breast cancer and thankfully was in place when my wife was diagnosed exactly 4 years ago this week. Good on her, right? Survivors, gotta love them. And so, You know, there. I know when we had to make minor changes to each and every video, all of those videos, the only option we had was to use this video editor built into YouTube, but people aren't using it. And as few as 0.01% of all creators use the built-in video editing tools, a spokesperson from YouTube told some organization, Mashable, that I'm reading from right now. So describing its popularity as limited usage is a bit generous, Mashable says. Now, I saw this in TechCrunch this morning. Google Play Music and YouTube Red, they're going to be joining forces. They're going to merge to create a new streaming service, according to a report in The Verge, which Google then essentially confirmed with a statement indicating that changes are not taking place immediately, and the company said users would receive plenty of notification before any changes were made. Now, here's how I kind of want you to look at this. I want you to look at this like what you're seeing on iTunes with Apple if you're an iOS user. Basically, they start to have different tools, right, that you open up a podcast app and you open up the iTunes app and you've got the music app. Eventually, all those services get folded back into each other. You start people off with niches, right? The riches are in the niches. So you start people off in the niches, and then once those niches are established, you connect all the different niches together to one parent app, tool, service to hockey stick your growth. Think about your business that way. In past episodes, we've talked about looking at developing niches that you could start catering to. Do the same. You'll find great success. Follow the leaders. Google, Apple, Facebook, they're going to steer you in the right direction. All right. So Milan Neal, now this is a really cool story out of 11alive.com. Now this story went crazy viral this week. And Milan Neal, the driver of a car pulled over, was going over 100 miles an hour while changing lanes, according to this police report. The report doesn't say exactly how fast or how speed played into what happened on GA-400, which I believe is in Georgia, but it does include Neal telling the police officer he was trying to take a Snapchat photo while going down the road. The photo, the video, and the location sharing app has a filter which allows users to show their speed in real time, right? And this guy from 11 Alive tested out, the reporter tested out the app in the station's parking lot with no traffic around. And yes, of course, he was wearing a seatbelt and found out how fast he was going. He was going 0.3 miles an hour, and the Dodge Charger that Hale was driving was clocked on the Snapchat app of going 112 miles an hour. Now, dash cam videos show the police officer pulling over Hale on Tuesday night on the freeway, and the audio footage captures their interaction, and here it goes. The officer says, "I would love to see where you're headed in such a hurry." And Neal says something inaudible. The officer says, "Trying to what?" And then Neal says, "Do it for Snapchat." He was trying to do it for Snapchat. And the officer was surprised by the driver's honesty, right? I mean, it's who says that? But it's a real indicator about how people are using these social tools, trying to incorporate them in their real life to show off. An example of this, in my morning run, sun was coming up perfectly over the cactus, right? I live in the Sonoran Desert. There's cactus everywhere, but where you are, cactus are a freakish anomaly, right? So as I'm running, I pull out my phone, I'm going to Instagram the sun coming up on my run, and then I realize I'm going to eat shit if I do this, right? It's the same basic thing. We're all using these tools to show off. Brands have different ways to use these tools to show off. And instead of being marketing hype, brands should use these tools. And when I say tools, I mean video, but more specifically, the tools like Snapchat and the filters or Instagram or Facebook, YouTube. Use these tools to be a helpful thought leader in your space. And the next time somebody is thinking about video or they're thinking about content marketing, or maybe your business is a B2B product, if you're providing helpful information, the next time somebody in your funnel needs that, they automatically think of you because you are the, you got it, the rock star in that space. Lyft, you know, Lyft is the arch rival of Uber. Interesting story about them. Gross bookings from Lyft grew 25% in the second quarter compared to what's going on at Uber, where the Lyft of Uber is coming to a grinding halt. Now, check this out, right? The underdogs have advantages. There's a reason why in business, in the world of entrepreneurs, there's a saying that pioneers get slaughtered. Maybe that's what's going on right now with Lyft. I actually transitioned whenever we went to Amsterdam for two client video shoots, I started using Lyft because the Uber app was erroring on me. And that was a golden opportunity for the pioneer to lose me and the challenger to come up. If you're the challenger, look for opportunities. Be great. Iterate, learn from the big dog, and your business will grow at exponential rates. Speaking of working with clients, I saw this. The Business Insider reported on the 16 best-selling products from Amazon Prime Day 2017. And at the top of the list was the obvious: Amazon Echo, Amazon Fire HD tablet, a SanDisk 32 gigabyte ultra class memory card, which Wirebuzz has all over this office, like a deck of cards that have like spilled out. We've got these memory cards everywhere from our video shoots. Also on that top of the list was the Kindle Paperwhite device. And the 16th best-selling product on Amazon is my client 23andMe's genetic test. Pretty damn cool, right? I mean, it's not one of those products that you would normally think would break out of the box on a platform like Amazon. And because they're direct-to-consumer, they can compete in that environment. And we've done a great job standing out in the crowd and differentiating. Business Insider writes, 23andMe is another service that rarely sees a substantial discount. While it might come as a surprise amidst all the tech, knowing your background isn't just interesting, it can also help you anticipate your health. Now, I absolutely love this. I think it's super cool. If you've got a breakout product, don't be afraid to compete on a platform like Amazon, especially if your product is something that normally, historically, wouldn't be found on a tool like Amazon. Got it? All right. Now, there are three things I do that I want to bring to your attention. They always pay huge upside dividends on my ability to provide my clients with very tactical, results-driven action. All right? The first thing I do is daily education. You know, I don't have to be the smartest person in my industry. That's a birth blessing. It happens to only one of us in the entire industry. And Lord knows, it ain't me. It's somebody like my digital marketing soul brother, good friend of the podcast, Mark Traphagen. But it sure isn't me, okay? And I'm not ashamed to admit it. Instead of needing to be the brightest person, my commitment, and the brightest is really out of my control, right? Like the Lord just shined brightly on Mark Traphagen. That's why he's so damn smart. But my commitment is to be the most resourceful. Resourceful is a choice. It's a daily commitment. And how I live up to that commitment is reading each and every day, which consistently gives me a clear view on where the industry, where tech and tactics are headed. Because I've been doing this for so long, because I've already spoken at the biggest digital marketing conferences for years about search and social email traffic and conversion, I've got a solid foundation. And because of that, massive field context comes into play. So I know where the road is headed, and I don't need a lot of light at the end of the tunnel to fill in the gaps, right? That's because of the daily commitment. So the reason I always know where marketing, video, and online business is headed is because I make that choice to invest and to read in where my industry is going. That's your option. Mine is number one, right at the top, daily education. The second thing I do that keeps me on the cutting edge is, you know, if I didn't read about my industry, I wouldn't be able to create content. So the second thing is creating content. Reading kickstarts my process, and then I see something I need to share with you. Because I know you're expecting me to be one of these lighthouses out in the middle of of troubled water to help guide you to the port, right? I get it. Reading kickstarts that process for me, helps me share that information. And if there's something you need to know to generate more revenue and to take your business to the next level, I'm going to create content around it because I want you to be able to trust me. And hopefully down the road, there's going to be an opportunity where you can recommend me because I've already demonstrated that I know where things are going. Number two, create content. And the third and final thing that I do on a daily basis is also born from my daily education. It's called micro testing. Now, in past episodes, I've shared with you my theory of micro testing. And if you want your digital marketing results to be amazing, you should always be running a series of little micro tests, little scientific tests, and keep looking at the results until you find that something stands out as a clear winner. And once you find a new micro test that absolutely kicks ass with its results, don't sit back and get fat and lazy. Don't think all of a sudden, dude, I got it all figured out. I'm good, because this landscape changes. That's when, as soon as you start finding ones that are creating results, that's the time to start looking for your next big winning micro test. I've had tests that have lasted, that have given me results that I could reuse for 6 days of growth or 6 months, or in the case of my website traffic escalation from my news site that went from zero visitors to 36 million unique visitors a year, it happened because of micro tests. Keep pushing, keep looking, and you're going to find really interesting information. In your head, you should be saying, well, I get more traffic on my site if I partner with this organization or with that one. Test it. Try both, right? Dip a little toe, not a big toe in the water. Don't go the whole leg. Can I help this client sell more if we create a 30-second explainer video or a 3-minute long explainer video? If I follow the strategy that I just read about that Norwegian Airlines used to crush and grow at hyper freakish rates, would that same strategy work for my client in the SaaS space? No, won't work for them. How about the client that I have that's in the restaurant industry, that big franchise? Oh my God, it would totally work for them. You've got to think about that. Got it? If I'm not doing my daily education, if I'm not creating content regularly, if I'm not running micro tests, my mind, my long-term strategic video planning, my client projects, their successes are all at jeopardy, and my career isn't evolving, right? So continue, iterate, learn, share, micro test. You'll see hockey sticks on everything you do. And that's exactly why these three things that I do always pay huge dividends on my ability to provide my clients with very tactical, results-driven action. Now, speaking of doing things smart, let's talk about Think with Google for a moment. You know, I saw this in Think with Google. It said, quote, another key shift we've noticed at Google is that brands who are investing in mobile experimentation see huge rewards over time. Wait a second, let me digest this. Really? Brands that are running mobile micro tests are seeing huge results? Dun, 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 right? Who would have thought? Google goes on to say, quote, what can brands achieve through testing and experimentation? Now, brands can discover underserved opportunities on mobile if they're prepared to experiment and learn. There's always that iteration process. And rather than just optimizing existing strategies, take Boom Chick a Pop popcorn, for example. I'm a big popcorn freak. Any of these guys on my team, when we travel to go to client shoots or I'm speaking, the day I fly home, what I'm really looking for when I walk into the gift shop at the airport is some type of luxury popcorn that's got like dark chocolate and caramel drizzled on top, maybe a little sea salt. I will crush that whole bag on the plane. And so when I see Boom Chicka Pop, I got to talk about it because I love popcorn. And what they wanted to do was boost sales and market share. Who doesn't want to do that, right? So they employed a test and learn approach across 6 locations. They designed a mobile-first strategy to reach their target shoppers. Who are their target shoppers? Well, let's see. Young, active females, aka not me, in key popcorn micro moments, such as when they're near a real retail location on weekends, because who doesn't binge and nurture on weekends? I do. Overall, Boom Chicka Pop recorded more than a 23% lift in sales in the test markets and calculated an ROI of $1.30, a return on investment of $1.30 for every $1 they spent on campaigns. Now, by testing different levels of mobile impressions in each of the six markets, six different markets running different tests, and focusing on broad business measures and measurements that they wanted to target, you know, which could be like retail sales rather than a metric such as ad engagement, the company was able to drive true business impact. You should always be looking at the bottom line. Go back to last week's episodes where I broke down the key performance indicators that you should be looking for your videos. They dovetail perfectly into this. Now, perhaps the most interesting thought is that the sharpest increase in sales was from cities where the biggest share of advertising impression was received on mobile. And what it did, check this out, is it drove 5 times more sales than the 4 other locations. I'm going to just rehash that for you because it's important. The biggest share of increases in sales came from the one city where they had a larger advertising spend on mobile, right? The company was also encouraged by the results and now plans to invest more in mobile in the future. If you're not testing and then looking at these micro tests and learning with little budgets, but learning fast, they would have missed that 23% lift, right? So use that to your advantage. And then remember, my biggest piece of advice here is once you find this 23% lift that's going to come from, let's say, the Boom Chicka Pop example, once you find it, then don't sit back and get fat and lazy. Start looking for your next micro test and you will continue to crush it and your clients will continue to come back for more. Now, speaking of Google, here's an interesting story I saw in the San Jose Mercury News. Google has free food cafeterias at their properties in Mountain View, San Francisco, different cities like Chicago, and so on. And I can confirm that. You know, this is out of Fast Company and Business Insider, but I can confirm that because I've stuffed my face full of some googly food. You know, when I was speaking at SMX West in San Jose, where on the topic of where's Google going and how do you align your business to profit from Google's direction, Google invited me up to their campus, quite honored. And while I was up there, I did the googly thing, which is binge eat on Google Grub. And a reporter from Fast Company noticed that Google has been slipping more and more mushrooms into their burgers that it serves to workers while cutting back on the meat. Quote, Google has slowly increased a percentage of mushrooms in the patty from 20% to 50%, right? And they go on to say, quote, you can't expect everyone to start loving lentils on day one, right? That's Google's global food program chef. And when Fast Company visited 14 Google cafeteria food stations, it found that each one subtly nudges diners to make one choice in particular: eat less meat. So why is this news story important for video marketers, right? If you're trying to transition your sales team to leverage video to speed up their sales, start the process just like Google's chef did by introducing one or two very smart tactical videos and show your sales team how to send them to their prospects. Very quickly, your sales team are going to see that their prospects who are watching the videos are buying at faster rates. It'll be obvious because video is the most powerful tool for convincing and converting. And then once you see that, introduce the next set of videos to your sales team. And before you know it, you'll have migrated your sales team to use video to close deals at faster rates. And just like the mushroom burger, nobody will even know that you slowly transitioned them to a faster, better way to do things and to process your business. Oh, snap. Mashable's reporting Snapchat will no longer limit you to single 10-second video clips at a time. Instead, Snapchat now allows you to record up to a full minute of video at once. Oh my gosh. Good on you, Snapchat. About time, right? You know, There is, however, one catch when I say this. So while you can now record up to 60 seconds of video in one go, the recording will still be broken up into 10-second clips. Mashable goes on to say the feature, which Snap is officially calling multi-snap, they probably spent like 6 weeks on that name, is similar to the way that you can record longer videos with your spectacles, for the one of you who actually has spectacles in the audience. Now, once you've reached the end of the 10-second clip, just continue pressing down on the shutter to keep the video going. Now, you can do this up to 6 times, and Spectacles allows you to extend recordings up to 30 seconds, but this one will be 6 10-minute clips equaling, you guessed it, 6 times 10, 60 seconds. See how I did that math in my brain that I learned from going to a Pac-12 party school? Each of the dominant social networks, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, what are they all doing? The same exact thing. They're all becoming video first because they know you, me, and your mother, I hope I didn't offend you when I said that, usually that's a trigger word for people to fight, are all spending twice as long on websites that have video, right? And one of the most important audience metrics that advertisers are looking for is how long people stay on a specific site or social network or channel. So with video doubling the time on site, longer format video ultimately makes the social networks more valuable in the eyes of advertisers. Now, Snapchat and Twitter are on similar paths. Both of them are operating like the Google cafeteria, slowly nudging their love for micro video moments into longer content so they can compete without losing face that they started off with the wrong small formats, okay? Eventually, they're going to get longer. You're already seeing that with Twitter playing long format television shows and news coverage and live sporting events. Got it? Now, how does your business benefit from this? You need an attention hack. What I mean by that is when somebody comes to your website, you need to slow them down. What the mind wants to do when it comes to a website is quickly review, skim, bounce, go somewhere else, review another site. And what you want to do as a business lead is speed bump that experience. Get them to stay longer in your universe. When they stay longer, they start developing the right connections to make a business decision. Use video tactically to slow down the experience so they can learn more, process, and, you guessed it, buy faster. Oh, I saw this in Mashable this week. I don't know if you know about this, but for all of you iPhone users, if you say to your phone, "Hey Siri, I see a little silhouette of a man." Watch this.
Scaramouch, Scaramouch, will you do the Fandango, Thunderbolt and Lightning? Very, very frightening me. Galileo.
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 Galileo. You get the idea, right? Freakish use of Siri to help you play along. And if you're developing any type of a voice-activated tool or AI, build in these really unique, playful things. It humanizes the experience. If you remember what Jay Bear talked about in an earlier episode, it also creates talk triggers, right? Isn't this a talk trigger? If I can be playing with my phone, then I walk around and I show everybody Siri. Now, if you're wondering why I have the Australian male version of Siri and not the one that comes out of the box, it's because, well, he's just a little bit more forceful with me. It helps me move things along. So that's how I roll. And look, Facebook, look, I saw this in Video Inc., interesting site. Quote, "One of the things we've heard in our internal meetings from many newspapers and digital publishers is that we want a subscription product and we want to be able to see a paywall on Facebook." Now, this was revealed at Digital Publishing Innovation Summit, and it goes on to say, quote, "And this is something we're doing right now at Facebook. We're launching a subscription product. Facebook's current plan is to work with a small number of publishers to introduce a system that would let free viewing to like 10 articles per month, as Digiday reported recently. And after viewing 10 articles from that media company, the user would have the option to sign up for a subscription to that publication. Now, despite the fact that many publishers who operate a paywall allow varying numbers of free articles to visitors, a source to Facebook told TechCrunch that the number would be the same across all partners, ensuring consistency for users. So it's always going to be 10 free articles in a month, and then you get hit up to pay, right? Now, what I know to be true is the newspaper business, the print business, the news business, the online news business, they are all dead. And so too is trying to disrupt the news industry. In fact, almost every article hidden behind a paywall can easily be found after a very quick Google search. This problem, and I appreciate you, Facebook, good on you for trying it, can't be fixed, right? It is a dinosaur from a different era that doesn't live inside of this new digital age, but Facebook's Band-Aid is an interesting short-term speed bump. But the long-term, it ain't going to do much unless you are in a single content creator and you're using Facebook as your platform. It's going to be a breakout place for people that are, let's say, developing contributors, or they want to be a thought leader in a space, right? Maybe in video marketing. It's an opportunity if you want to become an opinion piece writer and your thoughts are golden, or you've got unique access to people in high places and you want to create an article and do that for your industry, right? That's how I would use it. I would say, hey, if you're an industry thought leader, leverage that opportunity, make some money, and bring people into free articles, show them quality information, and then get them to buy, all right? Now, according to Digiday, publishers will have access to all subscriber data, which is essential to understanding their audience better. Additionally, a proposal to let people buy bundles of publications from different companies is now off the table, thank God, because that would have flopped. Publishers are also expected to have full control over pricing. The reason I can speak on this topic from authority is I was born in that part of the industry, right? My news site took off. I struggled for years to figure out, hey, I got 36 million unique visitors a year coming to the site. How do I monetize it? And recognizing that banner ads suck, and I know the end results are poor, I couldn't sell them. And there was really no market for news in a world where you can get every story at a Google search away. Facebook, as you know, loves video, right? You've probably noticed loads of auto-playing videos in your news feed, but until recently, those videos played with the sound off. Now, Facebook's looking to flip the script and turning on sound by default, which nobody is going to like. I want you to think about the ESPN experience that many of us sports nerds went through while we're trying to hide at work that we're actually looking at sports news, right? And you'd click on a story that you found interesting, and all of a sudden, very loud in your speakers, da-na-na, da-na-na, and everybody in the office would know that you aren't working, right? Facebook's going to run into that same problem, but at least there are ways for you to turn off that notification, and I'm going to make that information available for you on the show notes page from this Business Insider article of how you can turn off the autoplay sound, which is going to become a nightmare for all of us. TechCrunch reported this week that Facebook may launch its own smart home gadget to get you messaging more friends and looking at more photos. DigiTimes reports from Taiwan that Facebook is building a 15-inch touchscreen smart speaker. Citing sources from the upstream supply chain, Chinese iPhone manufacturer Pegatron is building the device for a Q1 2018 launch with a small pilot run having already been produced. It's said to have been designed by Facebook's secretive new hardware lab that's called Building 8, which is Facebook's version of Area 51. Now, all of these tech companies, Google's name is like Area something, kind of plays off of 51. Apple has their secretive lab that has the new devices and everything. And it, to me, these are like the James Bond gadget portion. Like, you go see the James Bond movie and he gets his new assignment and he gets the new exploding pen in the car that's got a underwater submarine built into it. Like, that's kind of what's happening in Silicon Valley. Probably one of the coolest places you could ever go would be inside of one of these bat caves, right? And get to spend time and look at what's happening down the road. Now, let me give you the big picture here. I'm totally disinterested in Alexa-style speakers, but, and I think part of it has to do with, I feel like it's already a crowded market, but I know people love talking to a virtual assistant, and maybe if I used Siri more, maybe I would be all geeked out about this, okay? But your business takeaway on this topic is, if you want to get adoption, really, adoption's always the biggest hurdle. Build in some fun elements, some humanistic elements, because those humanistic elements, or the ones that are fun that you want to show a friend, that does two things. One, like mentioned earlier in this episode, it becomes a talk trigger, right? That gets people talking about your product and they become part of your marketing. And you always want to build in talk triggers. The second piece to the puzzle is it creates a habit. Sure, you're starting people off with fun, right? Oh, check this out. I see a little silhouette of a man, right? And then the device talks back. That's fun. But it's training people to use it and to think of it as a tool that can help them improve their life. It is a transition. So make sure when you're trying to get adoption that you come up with fun, innovative, creative ways and then transition people into the hard usage that's going to make them really benefit from your product or service. Now, as a marketer, you should also be saying to yourself, but this is also about engagement, isn't it, Todd? Well, you're absolutely right. When you create a new tool or a new service, you want your target customer to engage with it. The same with your content. Make sure people engage with it, make it interesting, informative, innovative, creative. And when you do that, people spend longer on your platform. They adopt its philosophies and principles, and they learn to rely on that information. Your content should always be helpful, but make sure when you're being helpful, you're also showing people how this information is going to advance their life. Can we talk about VR for a moment? You know, we've got a, I spent some time with one of our VR clients this weekend. And if you want to know why I continue to see VR as being a long-term investment, not a short-term revenue generator, it's because of a story that I saw this week in Business Insider. Oculus VP of Content. Oculus VP of Content, Jason Rubin, best known as co-creator of the video game legend Crash Bandicoot, told the Business Insider, if Facebook wants to create a virtual reality world tomorrow, it needs people to buy headsets today. And the most expedient way to make that happen is video games. He says, quote, my job is to get stuff out the door. In other words, gaming will lead the way for future VR development, right? When I started this business, this is very similar to the Wirebuzz philosophy. When I started this business, it was so early that video marketing, we didn't even know what the term was. It hadn't even been created, the name. If video marketing had been known, I would own videomarketing.com, but I don't know who does, somebody else, right? We just didn't know what to call it. And so where were people approaching us for video? They weren't saying, hey, Todd, we need video. Instead, they were saying, hey, we need SEO. And I'd go, great, we specialize in SEO. And to get you the best results, we use video because video gets the best search results, right? Because time on page. Or they'd approach me and say, we want to do a better job with email marketing to our database. And I go, great, let's 300% your effectiveness of your email by adding video to it. And, oh, Todd, we want to sell more. Okay, well, let's create videos about your product or service because we know people are 144% more likely to buy. So people would approach me from traditional digital needs: search, social, email, sales, traffic. And I had to get comfortable introducing them to where the road down the path was headed, which was video amplifying all those tools. The same is true with VR. If you need people to get VR headsets in order for your long-term play, you have to figure out what is the open road, what's the early adoption. The early adoption, as you see from this article, is clearly video games. Think about your business in the same way. Start being obsessed with where people are finding you, and then you'll be able to funnel them into your product or service, okay? And if cinema is any gauge of the future, the Matrix is coming for all of us, because the future is here. Oh, this is interesting. One of my marketing agency friends posted it, and I just love it. There's a marketing lesson here. Have you heard about the latest developments at Campbell's Soup Company? You know, soup is good food, right? Well, paraphrasing from foodbusinessnews.com. Incidentally, have you ever heard of, you ever been to foodbusinessnews.com? This should be an indicator of why the New York Times and the USA Today and CBS and ABC and CNN, really the alphabet soup of news, are all flailing, because everybody has a news site nowadays. News sites are like opinions. Everybody's got one. So Campbell's Soup Company said it's going to withdraw from the Grocery Manufacturers Association at the end of the year. Now, Denise Morrison, president and CEO of Campbell's Soup, said, quote, "As we continue to evolve as a purpose-driven company, many of our beliefs have diverged from the rest of the food industry and from our own trade association. Campbell's Soup has taken ownership of its company purpose and has made the phrase real food that matters for life's moments a fabric of who we are. Now, the company's purpose continues to be the single most important change in Campbell's Soup's culture in the past few years," she said, "and has fundamentally changed the way the company thinks, talks, and acts about its food," right? You have to love your product and know the value of it to your target customer in order to have the brand and the quality match. And this article goes on quoting the CEO of Campbell's Soup, Denise Morrison, who says, "It's created an enterprise understanding that the food, that the future of food is rooted in health and well-being, and it's changed the way we make decisions and allocate our resources." Now, Ms. Morrison said Campbell's Soup has taken important steps to be the leader in transparency, including the launch of whatsinmyfood.com, and continues to believe that transparency is the single most important ingredient in the recipe for earning customer trust and establishing with new generations who demand to know what's in their foods and how it's grown. And I absolutely love this because, you know, Campbell just separated itself from their industry and competitors. They basically said, hey, the industry standards that everybody else is following, that ain't good enough for us, right? And they put themselves in the position of being a watchdog, customer's advocate, championing quality, right? You should always be doing, you know, there's a reason why on these podcast episodes, I spend a few moments in every episode talking with you about the importance of starting every video project with strategy. I'm doing the same thing Campbell's Soup is. I'm separating myself from the industry, right? I'm blazing forward, showing you how important it is that, you know, good enough video isn't good enough, that you actually have to tie it into your strategy if you want to convert people at faster rates. Campbell's Soup is doing the same thing, and that's how you build loyalty and customers that rave and market for your product. If I told you the first 5 years of Wirebuzz's history, which is ultimately the first 5 years of a digital marketing agency's history, we didn't do any marketing, and that's because of the loyalty of customers that raved about us and did that talk trigger thing where they went out and raved about us and drove all of our new leads into us. And nothing is cheaper than empowering your customers to be an extension of your marketing team. Always be thinking, where can I better align with the needs of my desired customer? And then once Once you've figured that out, the next step is how can we leverage the power of video to make sure everyone knows the role that we're playing to help better serve the needs of our customers. That video should not be a look at me, I'm so great. Instead, it should tell the story through the eyes of your customer, right? It should be through your customer's eyes. When you create peer-to-peer stories and you do it in video, they're super powerful. They create emotions. Emotions are what triggers people to take actions. And your customer talking directly to your target customer on video is how the marketing gods make great things happen. Serve your customer, and you know what they'll do? They will serve you. Now, if you think about Campbell's Soup, they've got a very long history of trailblazing in the industry. For a long time, Campbell's Soup was targeting a very specific economy-based customer, right? And they were providing food that would be affordable. And now they're seeing the reading the tea leaves of how you and I are all changing as consumers and how we're choosing to pay more for higher quality and the transparency. I mean, look at the growth of a company like Whole Foods, which basically said, hey, all these supermarkets, they aren't moving the needle fast enough towards organic or high quality or whole foods with products that aren't processed. And nowadays, people are willing, in fact, nowadays, people are not willing to pay for cheap foods, low quality. People want to spend their money on something they're going to reap rewards on, and it's going to benefit their system and make them healthier. And now Campbell's Soup, once again, is finding themselves leading, driving, and pushing ahead so they can tap into a developing consumer, always be adjusting. Them times they are a-changing. And when you adjust along with your target customer, they will keep you along with the ride. Now, if you want to stay ahead with the developing tide in video marketing, where it's all headed, the path is headed down the river towards proving out ROI. And because I'm trailblazing in the video space and how it fits into marketing, I want to make sure that each and every one of you understand how to guarantee that your videos generate a return on investment. And as such, I've created a 5-part video mini course where you can learn from me my tricks to creating videos that generate ROI, right? And you can get access to that by going to wirebuzz.com/ROI. Really smart, really tactical information that comes right out of every day that we're using here in this office. wirebuzz.com/ROI. If this podcast was valuable to you, if learning about what Google is doing and how it's transitioning, if understanding how you have to move your target customer along in a journey, and it doesn't matter if you're iOS, right, or you're Alexa, or you're Google with cafeteria food, moving people from meat to mushrooms, and how you do it through a slow stage and you path them, it all fits right into the video marketing. You got to understand that a video at its core is nothing but a passenger train. It takes high volumes of people to a purchase destination, but much like a passenger train, if you don't lay out the strategy first, interconnect the call to action with a landing page to a place where they can buy, and then connect up your CRM. If you don't lay out the tracks, like the train tracks that takes that passenger train and the customers on it to a purchase destination, you won't be as successful and you'll sit back and wonder why. So always take the appropriate steps. Learn from these business takeaways. It'll make you a much smarter marketer as you go through it. And I'm going to continue to do my job right here, tell you what's happening at Snapchat and at Lyft and Instagram and at Facebook and even at companies like 23andMe that are taking something that used to be from a healthcare professional to a healthcare professional and moving it direct to consumer. When you break the mold, really great things happen when you start to disrupt industry, but it always starts with 3 core things for me. It starts with daily education. Don't be the smartest person in your industry. Be the most resourceful. Read, read, read. Then from there, you're going to want to create content. What type of content? Video, because it gets the best results. Think helpful content. And the third thing you want to do is make sure that you run micro tests. Those micro tests will yield results. And when you find the results, you'd start expanding that, put it into action, and don't get fat and lazy. Go back and start your next round of micro tests, because you may only get 6 days of advantage, or you may, like me and some of mine, get 6 years. My wish for you: iterate, learn, discover, and then start the whole process over. That's what really great marketers do, and they're not afraid to learn something new each and every day. Don't be afraid, and great things will happen. All right, so I'm going to continue to look for the latest video marketing news, digital marketing news, and how business people use it. If this podcast was valuable to you, please share it with somebody you're rooting for. Share it with two people you're rooting for. Send them this episode. You'll get access to the show notes page at wirebuzz.com/108. Now, I got two asks. If you've got a clever, innovative way for me to remind people of what the episode number is, like we used to do the year, or we would do something like a football player's jersey, but now that I'm up in the 100 digits, it's hard for me to figure that out. But if you've got a clever way to tack that episode number to memory, please, by all means, hit me up, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wirebuzz.com/pitch. And the next ask is, if you've got a question that you need answered, doesn't have to just be about video, it could be about digital marketing or business or video marketing or even software as a service, because they all interact, right? Hand in glove. If you've got a digital marketing question that you need answered, submit it my way and I will answer it right here on this podcast so everybody can learn from it. All right? Good on you. Thank you so much for your time. Coming up in one of our next episodes, Eric Enge, you're not going to want to miss this interview with Eric. He's actually did a freakish study. He's Search Marketer Man of the Year for his big brain, and he deserves it. Think about this. We're going to be talking about in a future episode how to optimize your YouTube videos for Google search and how different videos or different optimization tactics show up on the top of YouTube search compared to the top of Google search. And you're going to want to know the difference so you can optimize your campaign for the very specific target results that you're looking for. That'll be coming up in the next episode right here on Video Marketing Mastery. All right, all right. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a lot of fun, a big week in video marketing, and I will continue to plug ahead to bring you the latest information so you could be, you guessed it, a video marketing master.